Chapter 12. A couple of days later, Charlie Erdling showed up at Alice's house with a bag full of peaches. "They're Red Havens," he told Alice. "The same kind your auntie always used. I saw them at the A&P this morning, and it came to me in a flash."
What came to you in a flash?" asked Alice.
"We ought to make a pie."
"Oh, no," said Alice, covering her face.
"You're not thinking about trying to win the blueberry now, too, are you? Isn't it enough that we got our pictures on the front page of the paper?"
The Ipsy News had printed a big picture of Alice and Charlie standing arm in arm under the headline, "Real Life Sky King and Penny Solve Local Mystery."
"I wasn't thinking about the blueberry," said Charlie. "I was thinking about my grandma's perfume. Since peach is your favorite pie, I thought maybe if we made one, the smell of it would do the trick for you."
That was the moment when Alice knew for sure that she and Charlie Erdling would be friends for the rest of their lives.
"I have something to show you," Alice said.
She led Charlie out into the kitchen and handed him a battered old cigar box. Inside, there were dozens of folded up pieces of paper, all of them stained and tattered from years of use.
"Aunt Polly's recipes," Alice told him. "The police found them in Jane Quisenberry's suitcase."
Charlie's eyes got very wide.
"Is the secret pie crust recipe in here?"
Alice shook her head. "No," she said, lifting one of the papers from the box and unfolding it.
"But this one is."
It was the recipe from Aunt Polly's peach pie. On the bottom, she had written, "Alice's favorite." Polly had always started by making the crust, but since there wasn't a recipe for that in the cigar box, Alice found one in a cookbook.
"It says here use 34 cups of vegetable shortening," Charlie said, reading from the book.
Alice leaned over his shoulder and looked at the page.
"That says 3/4 cup, she told Charlie.
"Maybe it would be better if I just watched," he said. Alice sent Charlie to the pantry for the can of lardo, while she gathered the other ingredients for the crust. Following the directions, she mixed flour, shortening, salt, and water together until it formed a ball. It didn't look exactly the way Aunt Polly's pie dough looked, but it was close enough. When she had finished, she sprinkled flour on the counter, and using the new rolling pin her mother had purchased, she began to flatten the dough into a round crust. Carefully lifting the edge with a spatula, she gently folded the circle over her forearm to keep it from tearing as she transferred it into the pie plate. Then she pricked the bottom 5 times and set it aside.
"Wow," Charlie said, "you're good."
Lardo wandered in at this point and started yowling to be fed.
"You want me to fry him up some sardines?" asked Charlie.
"He's already 8. Alice said. "Mom falls for it every time. She's a total pushover, just like Aunt Polly was." As soon as Lardo realized Alice wasn't going to feed him, he quit the starvation act and waddled out of the kitchen, his big belly dragging along the linoleum. As he passed through the living room, Alice's father sneezed.
"Achoo!"
"Oh, good morning, Lardo," he said from behind his newspaper. Alice rolled out a second crust, and with the table knife, she carefully cut it into narrow strips.
"What's that for?" asked Charlie.
"We're going to make a lattice top later."
"We?"
said Charlie.
"I'll show you how. It's easy."
Next, it was time to prepare the peaches for the filling. "Your auntie's recipe says they're supposed to be peeled, but it doesn't say how to do it." It was almost as if Aunt Polly was there inside Alice's head, telling her what to do.
"Like this, Alice, remember?"
Alice placed a peach on a big slotted spoon and lowered it into the bowl of hot water. She counted slowly to 20, then she lifted the peach out and put it in a bowl of cold water that Charlie had filled and placed on the counter for her. She counted to 20 again, then she removed the peach and held it in her hand.
"Good gravy," said Charlie, as Alice slipped the loosened skin off with her fingers, revealing the glistening yellow flesh beneath it. "It's like magic."
"Your turn," said Alice, handing Charlie the spoon. When they had removed all the skins, Alice's mother joined them in the kitchen just long enough to to help cut up the peaches and chop the crystallized ginger. After that, Alice measured granulated sugar and sprinkled it over the sliced peaches. Then she showed Charlie how to scoop brown sugar out of a box and pack it down in a measuring cup with the back of a spoon. They used a set of little tin spoons to measure the cinnamon and tapioca pearls. "Now what?" asked Charlie. Alice poured the peaches into the pie pan and laid four strips of dough across the top. Then she handed Charlie a long strip and told him to start in the center. "Weave it over one and under the next until you get to the other side." Alice had to help him, but eventually Charlie caught on. "That was fun," he said when they finished. Alice carefully slipped the pie into the oven. The lattice was uneven, and she'd had trouble getting the edges of the crust to hold together properly when she crimped them. But it didn't matter. She was proud of the pie she and Charlie Erdling had made, and she smiled, remembering something Aunt Polly had once told her. "The most important ingredient in a pie is the love that goes into making it." Alice had just set the oven timer when the doorbell rang. "I'll get it," she heard her mother call.
"Good afternoon, Mrs. Anderson," said a man with a deep voice. "Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Gerald P. Hammerschlacht, president of Hammerschlacht Products and Services out of Cincinnati, Ohio."
Hammerschlacht? Why did that name sound so familiar to Alice? "Whatever it is you're selling, Mr. Hammerschlacht, I'm afraid we're not buying today," said Alice's mother. She started to shut the door.
"Who is it, Ruthie?" Alice's father called from the living room.
"Salesman," she called back.
"Wait," said the man. "I do apologize for not being more clear about the purpose of my visit. I assure you, I'm not here to sell you anything."
Then he told her that he was sorry that he'd missed the funeral. He'd been away in Europe on business. Now he had come to pay his condolences and to thank the entire Anderson family on behalf of Lardo for Polly Portman's generous gift.
"What do you mean on behalf of Lardo?" Alice's mother asked. "Do you know Lardo?"
The man chuckled. "Know it? I invented it," he said proudly. "Lardo Vegetable Shortening is the cornerstone of Hammerschlacht Products and Services, and I expect our sales will be even higher now, thanks to your sister's generous gift."
"What gift?" asked Alice's father, who had joined his wife at the door now to see what was going on.
"The pie crust recipe," said Mr. Hammerschlacht. "I met with Miss Portman some years back, not long after she'd won the first of her blueberry awards. I'm here to honor my part of the agreement we made."
This was the point at which Alice's parents invited Mr. Hammerschlacht to come inside. A few minutes later, Alice's mother came into the kitchen, weeping uncontrollably, and asked Alice to come join them out in the living room.
"You're never going to believe it," she told Alice, hugging her tightly. "You're just never going to believe it."